Chapter 14. The Thought Police. When Winston woke, he felt as though he had slept for a long time. But when he looked at the old-fashioned clock, he saw that it was only 8:30. 20:30 hours. He lay quietly for a while. Then the beautiful voice of the prole woman started again. The singing woke Julia, and she got out of bed.
"I'm hungry," she said. "Let's make some more coffee. Oh, the stove has gone out. There's no oil in it."
"We can get some more from old Charrington, I expect," said Winston.
"But it's odd," said Julia. "I put plenty of oil in the stove. Anyway, I must put my clothes on. It's got colder."
Winston walked across to the window. The sun must have gone down behind the houses because it was not shining into the backyard anymore. The prole woman walked backwards and forwards, hanging out her washing and singing. She was a big fat woman of about 50, but to Winston she looked beautiful in some way. She must have once been a pretty young woman like Julia, but after years of having children and working hard to look after them, she had grown to look like this. People like her all over the world would one day defeat the party. If there is hope, it is with the proles. Without having read to the end of the book, he knew that must be Goldstein's final message. "Do you remember," he said, "the bird that sang to us that first day?"
"He wasn't singing to us," said Julia. "He was just singing."
The birds sang, the proles sang, but the party did not sing. The future belonged to the proles. They worked hard from birth to death, but they still sang. "We are the dead," Winston said.
"We are the dead," Julia repeated.
"You are the dead," said a hard voice behind them. Winston felt his body turn to ice. Julia's face turned white. "You are the dead," repeated the voice.
"It was behind the picture," whispered Julia.
"It was behind the picture," said the voice. "Stay where you are. Do not move until you are told to do so." They could do nothing except stand looking at each other. There was a loud noise above the fireplace and the sound of breaking glass. The picture fell to the floor, revealing a telescreen behind it.
"Now they can see us," said Julia.
"Now we can see you," said the voice. "Stand back to back. Put your hands behind your heads. Do not touch each other." As they stood back to back, it seemed to Winston that he could feel Julia's body shaking, or maybe it was just his own body shaking. The woman's singing stopped. There were angry shouts and the sound of something being thrown across the backyard. Then there was a cry of pain.
"There are people all round the house," said Winston.
"There are people all round the house," said the voice.
"I suppose we should say goodbye," said Julia.
"You should say goodbye," said the voice. Behind Winston's back, broken glass landed on the bed. The top of a ladder had come through the window. Someone was climbing through the broken wooden frame. There was the sound of heavy footsteps on the stairs. Then the room was full of men in black uniforms, wearing big boots and carrying long black truncheons. There was another loud noise. Someone had picked up the glass paperweight from the table and thrown it onto the floor, where it broke into pieces. Winston saw a small piece of coral lying near him.
"How small it is," he thought. "How small it always was."
There was a cry behind him. One of the men had hit Julia in her stomach with his truncheon. She was on the floor trying to breathe. Winston did not dare turn his head, but he could see her white face, showing her pain. Then two of the men picked her up by her knees and shoulders and carried her out of the room. That was the last Winston saw of her. No one had hit Winston yet. He wondered whether the men had got Mr. Charrington. He wondered what they had done to the prole woman in the backyard. He noticed that the light seemed too strong for 9 o'clock, 21 hours, which was what the clock on the shelf said. He wondered whether he and Julia had slept around the clock and had thought it was 20:30 when really they had woken at 8:30 the next morning. Mr. Charrington came into the room. He looked different. He saw the pieces of the glass paperweight on the floor.
"Pick up those pieces," he said sharply.
A man bent down to obey him. Mr. Charrington's voice was different. He did not sound like a prole now. Winston suddenly realised it was his voice that they had heard from the telescreen. Mr. Charrington was still wearing his old jacket, but his hair, which had been almost white, was now black, and he was not wearing his glasses. He looked at Winston once and then did not look at him again. He no longer looked like the same person. He was standing straight and he seemed to have grown bigger. His face was now the cold, hard face of a man of about 35 years old. Winston realised, for the first time in his life, that he was sure he was looking at a member of the Thought Police.